I don't mind admitting that I believe in God. I see God, I see the evidence of God when babies are in the womb. I see God when those babies are born. I see precious young children, innocent, sweet, loving, and kind. I see God when adults are kind and sweet to one another. I see God in the nature around us, the Grand Canyon, for example, or back home in East Texas, the trees, the horses, the cows, everything that is knowing about East Texas is a beautiful place. Some people call it God's country, and I wouldn't disagree with that whatsoever. So I do believe in God. But one of the things that I have to understand about God is that He doesn't abide by sin. And I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I have sinned in the past, and I know that I sin now. Even though I proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, that I still sin from time to time. I don't want to sin, but my mind, my heart, my body sometimes just gets the best of me, and I fall. Just like Paul said in Romans chapter 7, he ends up doing the very thing that he does not want to do. So within that, if that's the case, then what I need to do is to make my life right with God. And from what I can tell in the scriptures, you need a plan to be right with God. You need a plan to be right with God, to be with God in eternity. So let's take a look. I want to point your attention to Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 25. Luke 14 and verse 25. Luke chapter 14 and verse 25. Now I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Your translation is going to be different, maybe even strongly so. But the New Living Translation also gives us an opportunity to see a summary, to see an understanding of what the scriptures teach. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Your father, your mother, your wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me," now the cross led Jesus to death. So we have to carry our cross as well, and we have to die every day to ourselves, and that is our cross. So thereby, we cannot be his disciple unless we carry that cross. But now verse 28. "But don't begin until you count the cost." I think that's very strange. I find that very strange. Wouldn't you just say, "Lord Jesus, that why do I have to consider the cost? I mean, you are God, you are Jesus, you are the Son of God, you are Savior, you are the salvation of the earth. Why won't we just follow you and do what you say and everything's going to be okay?" Well, that's sound logic. But on the other hand, Jesus does say, make sure you count the cost. "For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it?" I've known people who did not count the costs and became Christians and were separated from family. "We oust you," the family says. "We do not want you to be a Christian. We do not want you to be a member of the Lord's church. We do not want you to be a person who espouses and proclaims the words of the Bible." And so some families boot their kids right out the door. You lose friends. "You know what, guys? I can't go drinking with you next Friday evening. I can't go doing the things that you normally do, chasing women, chasing beer, chasing whatever it is out there in the world. That's just not me anymore. I have stopped doing that because I want to be a Christian." And so your friends make fun of you. And sometime later, your friends are just not going to invite you to go drinking anymore, to go out and enjoy the world, they're just going to leave you alone. So you lose some friends, not even lose your children, because you want to be a Christian and your children don't want you to be a Christian. It works all the ways around in any and every relationship. So Jesus says, make sure that you count the cost. Do you really want to be my disciple? If you want to be my disciple, then you're going to have to give up your ideas about religion. Why do you think there's so many different denominations in this country alone? I've been working with people in Africa and India and Pakistan and Bangladesh lately. I got to tell you, those churches, they've got weird names, and yet they proclaim to be teaching Jesus Christ. But I'm kind of concerned for them. It's like, that name of your church, I don't know what else you do, the name of that church that you're saying that you're a member of, that's not in the Bible anywhere. That's not scripture. You can't go and say that I'm a member of Jesus and be in a church that doesn't even promote his name. The title Church of Christ is not a title. It's a descriptive phrase. It says that the church that belongs to Jesus. So what I need is a plan to make sure that I am right with Jesus. Now, I got to tell you, as I read the scriptures, I find several different things that I must attune myself to. And as I already said, I need a plan. So what is my plan? Well, first of all, I need to engage myself in scriptures. I need to find out what they say. I need to find out what they mean. And I certainly need to make it into my life. You know, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ was started in Acts chapter 2 in the first century. 3,000 souls were added to that church, to the church that belongs to Jesus, in that particular day. 3,000 people decided that Jewishdom is no longer correct and that following Christ is now the correct way to be with God forever and ever. So I'm going to turn your attention to chapter 2 of Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. To those folks in Bangladesh and Pakistan and Africa, Asia, so forth and so on. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. So, if you want to be with God, you're going to have to go with what the Bible has to say. Now, a lot of people have a cherry-pick religion. That is, I like this verse, I don't like that verse, I like this verse over here, and I definitely do not like this verse over here. So, that's my religion. I'm going to choose which verses make sense to me for religion, for being with God. And of course, we know that that's not right. Some people are totally emotional about this. Oh, I just feel that God is speaking to me not to walk across the street. Or I feel that God is leading me to this church. Or I feel that God is moving me to go up and talk to that person. Well, the answer to that is no, he didn't. That's just not the way God works today. God works through his word. And if you want to be with God, that's a choice that you have to make. And God said, you're on your own. If you don't want to be with me, then don't come to me. We all have a choice to accept Jesus or not. And so when we get to the word, we find out what it is that God would want us to do. All of the denominations, if this guy says you got to be baptized, and this guy says, no, you don't, that can't be possible. If this guy says you got to have faith, he says, oh, no, you got to confess. That's just not possible. Something is amiss. How do we clear out all of the religious junk that's in the world today. We go to the scriptures. Because that's the only way that we're going to find out what it is that God truly requires of us for salvation. Some people believe that all you need to do is just believe. That's not going to work. I got to tell you, there's probably 10 to 20 verses in the New Testament that are connected with the word salvation, some way, in some form. If you just take one, what about those other 19? Are you not saved by those other 19, even though God said you are? You can't just take one thought and say that this is it. Everybody is saved just because we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, that's a great first step, but that's not the end of it. That's not all of it. We saw it in Bible class this morning where we have to repent, we have to confess, and even Jesus said, those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. Would you want to argue with Jesus? Do you want to go up to Jesus and say, you know, Lord, that's just not right. You know, I believe that all I have to do is believe that you're the Son of God and I'll be going to heaven. What do you think Jesus would say? He'd say, no, that's not right. I'm telling you, I am God and I'm saying to you that you not only have to believe, but you also have to be baptized. Mark 16:16. Some people absolutely deny that. Acts 2:38. Peter says, repent and every one of you be baptized for the remission of sins and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I can point you to at least eight more places in the book of Acts where people are saved by whatever they are doing, whether they are at the point of faith, whether they are at the point of confession, whether they are at the point of repentance. But every one of the salvation acts in the book of Acts always end in baptism. Why do you think that is? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says, now baptism does now save you. It's not about putting off the dirt. It's not washing your body. That's not the point. It's washing your conscience. It's washing your soul. It's washing your heart so that you can be clean and right before God. So I'm going to go to the Bible. And that's where I'm going to get my information. Now, when it comes to cost, yep, there's a cost. I'm going to have to give up my drink. I'm going to have to give up my cursing. I'm going to have to give up my lying. I'm going to have to give up my lustful desires. I'm going to have to give up stealing. I'm going to have to give up being rude and crude and mean to people. I've got to stop being unkind to people. And instead, I've got to do all of those things that God tells me to do in Ephesians chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians 4:32, man. I always come back to that. Be kind to one another, forgiving one another, just as Christ has forgiven you. Be tenderhearted. God is tenderhearted toward you and I. And he has sent Jesus to save us from our own selves, from our sins, from our own mind that does evil. That's what Jesus has come for, to get us into heaven. And yes, there's a personal cost of what I have to give up. I have to make sure that my partner, if I'm married, counts her cost, and she has. And she has been baptized for the remission of sins. She is a Christian. She endeavors to live every day in a godly way. So we sometimes marry the wrong person. The wrong person may not be a Christian. They may not support your attending services and worshiping God. They may not support you giving to the work of a local church. They may not support you getting the kids up and getting them ready so that they too will achieve the opportunity of having salvation. That just happens. And that's a very difficult situation. You got to count the cost. Jesus makes that very plain. Now, Jesus, when he says you got to hate your mom, he's not saying that you got to hate your mom. He's saying that in comparison, you've got to hate your mom. You got to hate your dad. But he's not saying you got to hate your dad. He's saying, in comparison, you got to put me first. in comparison. You need to put me first before brother or sister or children or spouses or whatever the case might be in that particular relationship. You've got to put me first. Jesus is the only king of our hearts. No other king will do. If you go out into the world, you make the world your king. And you know you're going to hell for that. That's just not going to work. So I know that I have to believe, and I've already stated that I believe, and I've even given some evidence why, but I also have to obey. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 15, please. 1 Corinthians 15. And let's read the first few verses. First Corinthians 15, verse 1. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. Now, what does Paul say in this? You've got to obey the gospel. That's just that simple. That's just the easy summary of what Paul is trying to teach that wayward church in Corinth. He wants them to get hold of the message of Jesus Christ and live it. So in order to do that, I must obey. When Jesus tells me I must love my neighbor, then I've got to do that. Who is my neighbor? Anybody that I run across, according to what the scriptures teach. Anybody that I run across is my neighbor. And if they need help, I need to help them. I can't provide a lot of money, but if they need a new tire, I can probably afford that. If they're starving, I can probably buy a meal for them. If they need a place to clean up, I can probably provide that too. Whatever people need, I can help them in that. But you know what? Everybody on this planet needs Jesus Christ. And I know that I can help them with that because I have the Bible. And if they don't know what the Bible says, I can help them with that. So I have to believe, I have to obey. When Jesus tells me that I must pray and worship, then I'm going to pray. If Jesus tells me that I've got to give of my means, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, then I'm going to do that. If Jesus tells me that I must take the Lord's Supper, because in Acts 20 and verse 7, that's the first century church meeting on the first day of the week to do that. Well, how many first days of the week are there? One every week. And so I'm going to partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, just as the New Testament teaches me. And what about singing? A lot of people have fought this battle for centuries. Look, it's just simple. If you want to obey God, Ephesians 5, 19, sing. Sing. That's a command. Well, some people say, no, you can sing with instruments. Well, yeah, you can. But that's not what God wants. Now, he used instruments in the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 15 also talks about that the physical was first, that is the Old Testament, and now the spiritual. And so when we understand that the Old Testament ways of singing with instruments is no longer valid, unless you want to go back to having priests, unless you want to go back and claim you're a Jew, unless you want to go back and claim and perform sacrifices of bulls and goats, nobody wants to do that because the New Testament has taught us that those days are over with. So we're going to sing, making melody to the Lord, where? On a guitar? That's not what it says. On a bass? Doesn't say that. On a drum? No. On a trombone? How about a saxophone? How about a kazoo? What would be wrong with a kazoo? That's just not what the scriptures say. So if you want to do those other things, then you choose to not obey God. In worship, Colossians 3:16 says, has the same thing. But I tell you what, I can make melody in my heart, because when I sing to God, and I sing to each of you as well. And you're doing the exact same thing. You're singing to God, and you're singing to me as well. That's why that verse is so very important. Colossians 3:16 has the same sort of teaching. And so then every day I'm going to have to follow what Jesus had to say. If Jesus wants me to be nice, then I've got to be nice. I've got to walk down the street with him, and I've got to go to the work with him. I've got to go to school with him. I've got to go to services with him. By the way, services begin, worship services begin at home with prayer and singing. Don't leave that out. Super important. So when you get here, you already have a mind to love Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to do my best to follow him. God's Word teaches me how to do that. Now, then one day, I'm going to die. Hebrews 9:27 says, there's going to come a time when I'm going to pass. And after that, there's the judgment. So here's my opportunity. Did I do all of this to the best of my ability as a Christian upon this earth? And if I did, I have absolutely no fear of standing before Jesus in the judgment. Because I can claim, Jesus, I did sin, absolutely. But you know what? Your blood covered me. And what will Jesus be faithful to say? Enter in, my good and faithful servant. So we'll be admitted to heaven. But you know what? If you don't obey, you can't get there. If you don't follow, you're not going to get there. If you disbelieve, that's not going to happen to you. If you don't get the Bible into your heart and your mind, that's not going to happen either for you. So where do you think you're going to end up? You're not going to end up in heaven. You're going to end up in hell. And I hear that's a mighty hot place. So that's not any place that I want to go to. And then I get to be with my God. So that's my plan. But I want to show you something, even from the Old Testament. Josiah, king, had a plan. 2 Kings 23 and verse 1. Please turn your Bibles there. 1 Kings 23 and verse 1. 2 Kings, what I said. 2 Kings 23 and verse 1. Second Kings 23 and verse 1. Then the king summoned all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah and Jerusalem, along with the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. There the king read to them the entire book of the covenant. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Right? That's the covenant. Not only that, he pledged to obey the Lord by keeping most of his commandments. Doesn't say that. By keeping just the commandments I like, or the easiest ones. Doesn't say that either. It says keeping all of his commandments, all of his laws, all of his decrees, with all his heart and soul, just like Luke 10:27. In this way, he confirmed all the terms of the covenant that were written in the scroll, and all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. All right, so we got that. So what else here? Then the king told Hilkiah, the priest, to remove from the Lord's temple all of the articles that were used to worship Baal, Asherah, the powers of the heavens. The king had all these things burned outside Jerusalem, and he carried the ashes away to Bethel. He did away with the idolatrous priests. Now think about that. He didn't just depose them who had been appointed by the previous kings of Judah, for they had offered sacrifices at the pagan shrines throughout Judah and even in the vicinity of Jerusalem. They had offered sacrifices to Baal, to the sun, the moon, the constellations, and all the powers of heaven. The king removed the Asherah pole from the Lord's temple and took it outside Jerusalem and burned it. And he ground the ashes of the pole to dust and threw the dust over the graves of the people. That was his plan. You know what? His plan is strikingly similar to the one that I have, to my plan. He heard the law. He counted the cost. Well, if I do what God wants me to do, then I'm right with God. But if I do what's right with God, then all of these people who are worshiping the false idols, they're going to be pretty well ticked off at me. They might even try to assassinate me. and I try to kill him. But I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And I get that because they found the book of the law in the temple. And so Josiah believed. He believed God for what he said. And he found out that the Jewish people, Judah, had not been following God for 330 years. Can you get that? Can you know that? Can you see that, hear that? 330 years they had not been worshiping God as they were appointed to. They were worshiping idols or not worshiping at all. So he obeyed and he chose to follow God the days of his life. And you know what? Josiah died. But if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the Son of God, then Josiah was an Old Testament saint. I believe, according to what the scriptures have to say, that Josiah is going to be in heaven at the judgment day, as all of the Old Testament saints are going to be. And all of those Old Testament unsaints, they're going to be in hell, where the fire is never quenched and the worms never stop. And then you know what? He had a plan to be with God. It's the same plan as my plan, same plan as what you should have. I just say that right forthrightly. But that's the question. What is your plan? Do you choose the Bible at even the cost of my desires, the even cost of my heart, the cost of my mind, the cost of my spirit, the cost of the way I live, even at the cost of the way that I worship God? Are you going to cut out all that denominational stuff and just stick with what God has to say? How many people are lost? 8 billion people. 99.99% of them are lost. Jesus even says, make sure you get through the right gate, because there are a whole bunch of people that are going to go through the wrong gate. Those people are lost to eternity, lost to God forever and ever. Believe, that's what we have to do. Do you have a plan to obey God? Now, I know that Ephesians 5:19 says, seeing, make humility in my heart. Well, okay. Hey, listen, I was a music major in college. I played string bass in the orchestra. I played trombone in the band. I did all the musical sort of stuff. So I like instruments. I play a little bit of piano. I play a little bit of trumpet. I can do all those things. But you know what? That's world. When I come to worship God, that's spiritual. And I like instruments. Don't get me wrong. I love instruments. I think they're wonderful and awesome. But when it comes to worshiping God, the command is to sing. It doesn't say anything in there about playing, does it? God doesn't have to say, don't play, because he gives the command right out. Sing. And so that's what we need to do. We need to follow God. We need to follow Jesus so that you will be in heaven when that day of judgment comes. What do you think? You have an opportunity.